Welcome to the Joy of Cruising podcast with your host, award-winning author, Paul C. Thornton, a weekly conversation with the amazing cruisers featured in the Joy of Cruising trilogy, comprised of the Joy of Cruising, Cruising Interrupted, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again. Each book is a compilation of features about cruisers and cruise and travel personalities from around the world. It's the next best thing to cruising, hearing about cruising from the unique and diverse perspectives of Paul's amazing guests.
Hello, passionate cruisers. This is Paul, and I am delighted to welcome back to the Joy Cruising podcast, Alana of Lifewell Cruise. Alana is one of my first friends in the cruising blogosphere, having been featured in my second cruise book, Cruising Interrupted. And she has been a social media friend since my first book, which Alana likely would have been in if not for an email issue. Lifewell Cruise was the second episode of the Joy of Cruising podcast over a year ago. And amazingly, her episode remains in the top five to this day. Lifewell Cruise is a well-read blog, one of the top cruise YouTube channels in the world, IG, and more. In fact, across all platforms, Alana has a fervent followership, and Lifewell Cruise is one of the most followed and influential cruise brands in the world. It's been over a year, so I wanted to catch up with Alana, get her reflections on her recent Sun Princess cruise, and get an update of her cruising plans in this red-hot cruising market. Alana, welcome back to the Joy of Cruising podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be back for the second time.
So how are you doing?
I am doing great. We just came back from Sea Trade Cruise Global, which is a cruise industry conference. I think it's the biggest one in the world. So that was super fun and interesting. And right before that, we were on an MSC cruise and before that, the Sun Princess. So it has been a very fun and exciting cruisy month.
Now, let me ask you about Sea Trade. Do they record the sessions?
My understanding is they don't. I could be wrong. I know that some people had asked about it and I heard they don't. I know that the panel that I was on is Bill Panoff's panel, Bill from Porthole Cruise and Travel. And I think he did record some parts of it. I don't know if he recorded the whole thing.
Okay. Because I know on the panel you were on, each of the speakers has been on the podcast, except Griffin or Lisa. And I've tried to reach out to them. So I'm sure I hope that happens sometime soon.
Sure.
But I wanted to, just look at the presentation. So how's your family? Frank is your husband. Ethan, that's your son, right?
Yes, absolutely. They're doing fantastic. Everybody is good.
Now, one thing I noticed in a lot of your earlier cruises, sometimes, Ethan joined you and Frank, but much of the time it was just you and Frank. Now it seems every cruise that I look at your videos, Ethan is on the cruise.
Yeah, I think probably before he was usually with us as well. And actually before it was just him, my other son would sometimes come as well, more when they were younger. But as our cruises have become more a business in the way that we're recording when we're on, and we also write articles about the cruise, so we also do a little bit of research while we're on the cruise, then we have myself, my husband, who we both work in this, and my son Ethan, who does a lot of the short form video content that we do, like on Instagram, for instance, the reels, and then he's a writer for my website as well. So he's become more involved on the business side rather than coming along as, just somebody who was enjoying the cruise. So now we put him to work.
So he does your reels.
He does the reels. Yeah. Yeah. With my input.
Yeah.
But we strategize over them a little bit. We try to do the best we can.
My daughter, she does. So I do my reels like leading up to a show, promoting a show, but then always on the night before a show premieres, they always premiere at midnight. Mm-hmm. I have my daughter do a reel, and that just says midnight at www whatever. Awesome. And she is so good. She is so, some of the reels are amazing. You know, and she's so far she's picked all the right music. So it's fun having that assistance and people thinking, wow, you know, the Jewel Cruising podcast guy's pretty sharp on the reels.
So, it's so nice though, that when family's involved and, you know, we can all do something that we love so much and, you know, share it with our families as well. So
before we discuss what's been up with you and LifeWell Cruise since you were last here, tell our listeners about yourself, where you're from, where you live, professional background prior to becoming a top cruise influencer. Anything you would like to share?
So I live in Montreal, Canada, and I was born here. So I've lived here my whole life, which is now over 50 years. And prior to starting our cruise blog and our cruise YouTube channel and all of this, what I used to do professionally was I was an early childhood educator. And so I worked, you know, teaching very young children. That was a lot of fun. And I also worked, I always say very part-time, because I worked about one day a week at a local travel agency that specialized in cruises. And I would offer support and talk to a lot of first-time cruisers and do, you know, some office work and that kind of thing. So that was such a fun thing for me to do. But that's in part how I started the cruise blog, the fact that I would talk to so many people who were interested in cruising and help them to find the best cruise for themselves and all of that information, answer people's questions. And then on the side, I'd talk to friends and other people about cruising. That is how I started the cruise blog.
So many things to catch up on, Alana. Let's start with Sun Princess. You know, as we all know, it's a major new vessel for Princess Cruises.
Absolutely.
And I have a selfish interest because I am booked on her, although it's not until 2025. But in the meantime, I can't hear enough about the ship. So you know, you might have heard me refer to it as my future favorite new ship.
I love that.
But we'll see. It's got a lot of competition, which I'll mention. But tell us all about it.
So it was really interesting. At 177,000 tons, it is Princess's biggest cruise ship. It's definitely not the biggest cruise ship out there, but it definitely has a lot to offer. So I really liked the Piazza atrium on this ship. It's a little bit different. In terms of the color scheme, it's a little bit more, I don't want to say plain, because it's just that it uses a lot of maybe technology to sort of light up screens behind sometimes some of the entertainment. So that's where the color comes from. But it is very nice. And each of the three decks of the Piazza, what I liked most is that you always have a view on the water. So when we were sitting at Crooners, for instance, which is on deck deck eight of the three deck Piazza, it was so nice to be sitting at Crooners. There was a piano player playing, and right behind him, we could see we were sailing away from one of the Greek islands. And oh my goodness, to look at the landscape behind and the sea, it was just beautiful. So I really like that. They have a new concept for the main dining room that I think is so innovative. I don't think it's gotten enough attention, even from other, you know, people who cruise on other cruise lines. You know how when you're on a cruise, a lot of people say, I wish I had one dining room that was for people who really wanted to be more in traditional dress codes. And I wish I had one more dining room, maybe that was a little bit more casual, or another dining room I could just go in whenever I want. So they have the Horizons main dining room that is included. It has three decks, but in this case, one of the decks is a more traditional dress code. And as well, it's more traditional in terms that it has your early and late seating. So for the traditionalists, it has that. Then another one is your flexible anytime dining or my time dining. And then there is another part of the dining room that has a menu that includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner that is served at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if somebody wants to eat breakfast at dinner time, they can do that. And they can wear shorts in that area. So it's just, I think it really does offer something for everybody. It's a very interesting cruise ship.
That third iteration of the dining room, that sounds like me. You know, I am very, very informal on cruises. I do not like to get dressed. You know, to be able to go into a main dining room with slides on and shorts, oh my goodness, that's me.
Yeah, so I like that. It has, you know, something for everybody. And entertainment-wise also, you know, they have everything from your big production shows to, you know, entertainment in the piazza or atrium to in like the bars. There's O'Malley's Irish Bar. And every time we passed by this bar, they had like a duo that was singing Irish songs and really fun. Like the, you know, I was going to say the audience, but they're not even the audience. They're, you know, the patrons almost of this club or this bar who are getting drinks and food. You know, they're all just having such a great time at this Irish bar. And then, of course, Princess Live, which is the audience participation game show and trivia venue. Just really fantastic. Really so many places, almost like going to a resort or, you know, a small city. Really fun.
So sounds like there was a lot of activities and events, even though, you know, I've heard that some aspects of Sun are not complete yet as far as performance spaces.
Yeah, my understanding, I was actually speaking to a couple of people at SeaTrade just, you know, a couple of days ago. And my understanding is at least in a couple of cases, the big shows are now on the ship. When we boarded, we were on, I guess the ship had only been sailing about 15 days. So it was really still quite early. And one of the biggest production shows, which is called Valora, A Pirate's Quest, they were practicing. So they were rehearsing. We could see them. And it was, you know, pretty spectacular to see some of what they're doing. But they needed to make sure that everything was safe. They needed to actually, like, it was explained to us that even though they had been practicing for months off-site, that once they're on the ship, they have to actually have the equipment working right then and there, make sure that, you know, the performers are safe, make sure that everything is working well. And of course, even for the audience. So there were shows when we were on board, but the shows that were on board were not those bigger production shows. But my understanding is two of them at least are actually now running. So I think anybody who's sailing now is not going to have an issue. And even when we were on, I did not find the ship to be unfinished. They were just those shows that, you know, they weren't running yet, which I think, like it or not, I think that when you book those early cruises, I think sometimes, unfortunately, I think we all wish it wouldn't happen, but that's something that is not uncommon for early sailings.
Well, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, I won't be sailing her until April of 2025.
It's going to be fantastic.
So, yeah, everything will be, you know, be done. And although, you know, I've been reading lots and lots of Sun Princess forums on the internet. And mm-hmm. of the people who have gone, it's like, you know, something like 80% positive. There have been, you know, complaints, loud complaints, but it's been kind of trivial to me. Although, let me just take that back because, you know, I can empathize with people who have spent crazy money and they, you know, they didn't get 100%. But, you know, on the other hand, I can say, well, you know, when you're doing an inaugural or, you know, early cruises, that's going to be kind of normal.
Yeah, I agree with you. But just like you, I absolutely empathize with people. I know for them, it's, you know, like it's not the greatest. But it's funny, I do have a video. It's about 2 years old now. And I think it's 5 or 7 cruises to avoid. And one of them is inaugural sailings or anything in those first few weeks. And it's not because I think that they're necessarily bad cruises, but I think sometimes they can be disappointing for people who expect it to be the same as a cruise that you take 6 months later when all of the crew are already in the groove of everything. They've already worked out any of those kinks. So I think by the time that you sail and by the time that I sail on that ship next, it's going to be perfection.
Well, take note, listeners. Alana covers everything on her YouTube channel. And she just talked about the downsides of sailing on inaugural cruises. So if you're considering sailing on inaugural cruise, I think that's great. That's actually on my bucket list, to sail on an inaugural. But it would be good to go back and listen to that episode. You don't know the date offhand. Just go to Alana's site and search on inaugurals. So
yeah, or cruises to avoid, life while cruise. Then you'll find it. Or maybe I'll remake that one. I'll remake a new one.
Well, that would be a good one to remake, because there have been major inaugurals recently. I know right after COVID we had a kind of a surge of inaugurals, but this year with the Icon, the Sun, Jubilee wasn't that long ago, and coming up is Queen Anne. The Cunard ship.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't remember the name of that one. Maybe it is Queen Anne.
It's
one. The Ascent was not long ago.
The Ascent. As a matter of fact, you know, I said to you that Sun is my future new favorite cruise ship. It actually has a lot of competition. My favorite cruise ship is Celebrity Beyond.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
Oh, I love that ship also. I could see why that's in your top. It's in my top also. It's Ascent, by the way, was almost a carbon copy of Beyond. So if you like Beyond, you'll love Ascent. But I felt the same way about Beyond. It was really remains one of my favorite ships, probably will for years.
Yeah, and I'm booked on Ascent for later this year. So that's why I say that Celebrity Beyond status of being my favorite ship might not last that long. And then I also am going on my first Virgin Voyages cruise. And, you know, I have researched Virgin Voyages to death. And you know, if I've read 1,000 reviews, 998 have been good. I mean, I hardly hear a bad word about Virgin Voyages. So I haven't been this excited to take a cruise, you know, on a line I haven't cruised before in a long time.
Yeah, I really liked Virgin. I will tell you one thing that for me is a negative. I don't usually talk about negatives, but, you know, sometimes just to keep it real, there's one, it's like not a huge thing, but I don't know if they've ever done anything different. Maybe I just have to adjust. I found so many of the chairs in like public areas were very like low, or they were like you had to stretch your feet out like a bed. And so for me, I like a more traditional chair where you just sit regularly on like a couch height. So that was the only thing. Like I was sometimes like, oh, the chairs are so trendy and cool looking. But then I was like, oh, this is like really made of hard wood and it's and I feel like I'm sitting almost on the floor. So that was the only thing. But I think now that I know it, I'm going to look for more comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, I loved the cruise ship. The food was fantastic. The entertainment was new and innovative. The crew was great. So very few complaints, but, you know,
So Sun might very well be my future favorite ship, but it's definitely has some competition. Any parting thoughts on Sun, Princess, before I talk about another cruise that you just went on that is interesting?
No, let's move on to the next one.
So I understand you recently sailed MSC. Now, was that your first time on MSC?
It was. It was on MSC Seascape. And we had friends that cruised on that ship about a year ago. Actually, while we were on Celebrity Beyond, they were next to us docked in Dominican Republic on that ship. And it was their first time on MSC. And we met up with them in the island. And they were like, you know what? It's really good. It's better than we thought. And I thought, really? Well, they cruise a lot. They liked it. So not long after, I looked into it, of course, but we decided to book it with very little expectations. And honestly, we were pretty impressed. Overall, you know, every cruise line is different. So there's going to be things that I like more about one cruise line than another. But overall, we had a really good time. I enjoyed it very much. I thought the food overall was very good. And certainly when I've heard from some people that the service is not good or that the crew are not great. I don't know why I had heard that from different places, but we didn't find that to be the case. We found the crew to be excellent.
Is this the MSC that has the, what's the thing that dangles you over the water? Yes. Is this the one that has Robotron?
Yeah, it is. I didn't go on it.
Did no, now that sounds like something it. Ethan might try. Did he go on it?
He thought of doing it, but then he didn't. I think he thought of doing it. And the one thing that none of us like is, although he's more apt to do that than me, but is we don't really like the idea of going on a ride and then maybe feeling sick to your stomach afterwards. So that was a little bit his concern. He was like, well, I'm on the ocean, and if I go on it, and then if I feel sick to my stomach after, then that kind of ruins my day. So I think in the end, maybe it was just a very busy time, and he did other things, so he never went on it.
I went on MSC for the first time for Christmas. And, it was a great gathering. It was, you know, I took my extended family, which sort of was, you know, going back to 2018 when I took my extended family on Anthem, and that's sort of where the idea for the Joy of Cruising was born. But anyway, you know, it was, and then I did a pretty in-depth podcast about it. You know, in short, what I said was, in a lot of ways, it's on par with its competition, and I consider MSC's competition as Carnival, Royal, and NCL. But I had one major caveat,
and I agree with you.
I really think, at least for Miravilia, I went on Miravilia, they got to get this fixed, or they're going to, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about them as a one and done. And that is, on Miravilia anyway, there was no complimentary dining options. You could only eat in the buffet or the main dining room. And for someone coming over, you know, from Carnival, which has, a plethora of food places that are included, or Roy with their Park Cafe and their Commonwealth roast beef sandwiches, or NCL, where you can get up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and go get a Reuben, you know, for free. They gotta fix that. So I don't know when Miravilia goes in a dry dock, but I will bet you that they are going to do something about that. They have to be hearing a lot of comments. And if they read the comments cards, which I would hope they do, that has to be a recurring thing.
That's so interesting. Yeah, we did. I forgot about that, actually, because it's the same thing on Seascape, by the way. We found the buffet to be quite good, and it was open, I think, almost all the time. I had heard it was even open during the night. I don't know at what time that they do close. And we found the buffet to be quite extensive, you know, with pizza there and stuff. But there definitely, it did surprise me that in the pool area, like the main pool, that there wasn't like a grill for burgers or something, or an area to just pick up pizza. And I do think maybe, you know, I don't work for the cruise line and I haven't spoken to anybody, but maybe that might be the difference, or a big difference, between a European line and a more American focused line. I know that MSC is trying to get more into the American market, but I think, you know, versus a European style way of eating, maybe less picking up fast food during the day to snack on, you know, it may be less common to eat that way, you know, on a European vacation. And as an example, something that we noticed was in the elevators, we would see kids and teens holding an orange and peeling them, or eating an apple. And we actually commented to each other, we were like, oh, if we're on Royal Caribbean, everybody'd be holding a slice of pizza from Sorrento's. I'm not saying it's bad. It struck us that, like, we're like, So, but I know exactly what you mean. I wonder if they'll make any changes. That's very interesting.
I gave them a solid B.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'm one of those once and done.
Yeah.
I have very little bad to say, but there's so many other choices. You know, I don't see, now I hear they have a higher end line, the Explorer or something like
Journeys,
that.
But that's very luxury. Like, it's the
same.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but in terms of MSC itself, you know, I'm like so many that I hear, you know, I hear that praise once and done.
Well, maybe they will. Let's look out for that. And maybe if we talk next year, that might be something we can talk about.
not if we talk next year, when we talk next year.
Okay. We'll have to remember to revisit the MSC. Did they add another complimentary food option to their ships? Maybe World America, if they're listening, they should add that.
Yep. So it's been over a year since we last spoke. Have you gone on any other cruises that we haven't discussed?
We did quite a few cruises last year for us. I don't know. Did we speak about Alaska?
No. Oh, you know what? You were in Alaska at the same time I was in Alaska.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
You were in Alaska in May, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. You know, I'm one of those people who, you know, because it's, I don't want to make myself sound too old, but I'm later in life than a lot of avid cruisers, and you know, I don't normally want to go on the same ship or the same exact place that I've gone before.
Sure.
But there is absolutely no doubt we're going back to Alaska. A lot of people took helicopter excursions. Mm-hmm. And so my wife heard all of that, and it was always very, very positive. And she just kind of casually mentioned on the plane home, she loved to go on a helicopter excursion, you know? And that was music to my ears, although I'm not exactly, you know, I'm not real anxious to get on a helicopter, but I'd love to do that because my wife was interested in doing that, you know?
Oh, that sounds great.
So, have you ever been on one?
No, on a helicopter, I don't think I'll do that.
No.
That is not one of my dreams. No. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. I think I mentioned I don't love to fly. I'm getting better at it, but not on airplanes. So I already have a fear or a phobia or anxiety for flying in airplanes. And I feel like I'm getting a lot better at that, but helicopter would be a whole other therapy session. So no, not for now.
I do remember now when you were here over a year ago and I asked you to share one thing that most people don't know about you. And I now remember you shared the story about about flying and phobias, and I said, you know, I am so glad that you were open about that. And if that helped one listener, which we didn't have a whole lot at that time, but if that helped one listener, you know, I just thought it was a wonderful gesture on your part to share something that was very personal, you know. So had I recalled that before I asked, I'd have never brought up flying on a helicopter.
No, it's okay. He doesn't mind. I'm a little bit of an open book, so it's okay.
So you went Alaska on how?
Yeah, so we did Alaska. We did 7 days in Alaska with Holland America, and we were in Vancouver right before, which I absolutely loved. So I'd love to get back to both. We also went to the Mediterranean. We did a really nice cruise in August from Barcelona to Rome, and that was with Princess on Enchanted Princess. Enchanted Princess actually is in my top five also of favorite cruise ships. I love Enchanted Princess. I just love it. That was a beautiful cruise also. I love the Mediterranean. I think I really like the food also. So anyway, the Mediterranean was really nice. We did our first Carnival cruise in many years. We had done Carnival back in 2011, was our first Carnival cruise. And it was a little bit, I don't want to say one and done, but you know, like my kids, we, at the time we were on Carnival Liberty, but okay, we did Carnival Venezia in July. And that was fun. You know what? We decided to do it because I know a lot of my own followers were asking, you know, about what I thought of Carnival. And I thought it's not really fair to judge Carnival from one cruise that I had in 2011. So many people do Carnival. It's definitely one of the most popular cruise lines, if not the most popular cruise line in the world. And they do a lot of things really well. So I wanted to get back on and see that. And that ship was leaving from pretty close to home because we were able to take the Carnival Venezia to Bermuda right from New York. So it's only about a 6-hour drive. So we were able to kind of do that a little bit last minute, and that worked out. But we'll do another Carnival cruise, hopefully in 2024, maybe later in the year. Maybe I'd like to get on Celebration, so one of the newer ships. One of the other cruises.
I did take one of their new class. I took Mardi Gras.
Oh yeah. I heard that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing but positive things to say. You know, went on the roller coaster with my granddaughter. I wanted, you know, that's just something I wanted to be able to say. I went on a roller coaster on the ocean.
Maybe I would do that. I wasn't terribly attracted to Robotron for whatever reason, but I have to say the roller coaster on the ocean, that does look pretty cool. So if I don't chicken out, I will try the roller coaster. We also went to the Panama Canal for the first time. So that was somewhere that was a little bit on my sort of wish list of places to go by cruise.
What ship?
That was on Rotterdam, Holland America.
Oh, we'll have a conversation maybe separate, because I have lots of questions, because I am going on Rotterdam.
Oh, wow.
On my first Panama Canal cruise.
Oh, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, I have this thing, you know, over the next couple of years, I'm doing bucket list stuff. Uh-huh. So I'm always putting stuff on the bucket list, but, you know, I don't check it off fast enough. And so every cruise that I'm doing in the next couple of years, I think I'm checking off something like 10 or 12 bucket list items. So like we've been talking about Princess Cruises, I have a confession to make. I've never been on Princess Cruises.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, okay. So Sun Princess, you know, that's a small bucket list item, but, you know, a bucket list item was to go on Princess Cruises.
Makes sense.
Another bucket list item was to go on Holland America. Never been on Holland America. And then another bucket list item was to go to the Panama Canal. So I'm able to check off Rotterdam or Holland America and Panama Canal. Same thing, Virgin Voyages. You know, that's a first for me. Plus, it's my first transatlantic, you know.
Oh, I love that. Good for you. You're combining.
So these are checkoff things. Later on this summer, going on my first river cruise. So.
Nice.
But I will get a chance to. So, offline, we got to talk about, you know, you, because Rotterdam and Panama Canal is exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, very interesting. And after you do your river cruise, I want to hear all about that. That is on my list as well, probably for 25.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to take a river cruise as well.
Now, one thing I could ask you about now, talk about Virgin Voyages. Because, you know, I know you talked about the chairs and all that.
Yeah.
But talk about it. And tell me this. Because I'm collecting all of these great recommendations.
Okay.
What's the best food item and drink item I should try on Virgin Voyages? Or what's the best restaurant? I mean, what's your favorite thing about Virgin?
So my favorite, first of all, the food is very good on Virgin. So I cannot even choose just one thing, but I do have some specifics.
You go on Scarlet Lady or?
We were on Valiant Lady.
Okay.
But my understanding is that the cruise ships are all the same. So have you heard that too? Okay. Right. So in terms of the food, first of all, I really loved the fact that every single restaurant felt like you're in a specialty restaurant experience on any other cruise. I'm not going to say that every restaurant was my favorite, but I always enjoyed the experiences. The Wake restaurant is my favorite, probably because I really like a traditional steakhouse type meal and environment. And I thought it was a very elegant restaurant. I think I had lamb chops and probably some shrimp. It was fabulous. But a very interesting restaurant where we had something that was very good is at the Mexican restaurant. Thank you. Wow. First of all, really fun vibe. But we had, upon the recommendation of our waiter, it was steak with melted cheese on it. Now, there probably is an actual name to this dish, but basically it was steak with melted cheese. It was mouthwateringly good. And I've never had steak with melted cheese on it. So very, very good.
That sounds like such a simple pairing, but yeah. I'll be honest, I've never had that either.
No, but if you're there, you know, and you can always try it, you know, order it for the table or something. And again, it was a dish, so there was more than just cheese on it, but it was their steak and it was excellent. And the other foods were really good too. But the other thing is I really loved the pizza on Virgin. Their pizza restaurant is like you could eat there, but you can also take it to go. And the pizzas are a little bit bigger than a personal, you know, pan pizza kind of size. So, you know, you probably either one person might eat it or you might be able to share it with two. It depends how much you eat and what you like. But I love the fact that they had, you know, let's say three or four specials of the day, but you can also have your own pizza made the way you like it. They were very accommodating and it was really like having a gourmet pizza. I love arugula. So they were able to put arugula like on the side for me. And again, you can take it in a to-go box. So we were able to take our pizza and go eat somewhere else. I also loved all of the other to-go boxes of salads, of sushi, of fruit. So I felt like that was so innovative to to be able to pick up as you go all of the food. So, you know, in contrast, like you said, to MSC, that was a really big difference, actually, now that I think about it. But so that's what I liked best about the food. I can't remember if there was any drink that I particularly liked, but there was no bad drink. They were all good.
You know what I forgot to ask you when we were talking about MSC? How'd you like the pizza?
Oh, I liked the pizza a lot. It was very good.
Yeah, I in fact, the high point of my my review on the podcast was the pizza. I said it's the best pizza at sea. I was pretty emphatic about that. Now I've asked some other people who have been on MSC. Some have agreed with me. Walter from Where's Walter Travel was on recently, and he thought they were good, but the sauce was inconsistent. How do you compare the pizza on MSC would say you kind of raved about the pizza on Virgin?
Yeah, I love the pizza on Virgin because I like pizza that has different kind of toppings and stuff. And there's just something about, I like arugula. Anyway, okay. But I actually find, so Princess, in my opinion, and MSC have the best traditional pizza at sea, like a really good classic pizza. So I will tell you, my son Ethan like rates the pizza sometimes in my videos. And I have not done the review video yet for the MSC cruise. That will be coming up in about a week. But he did give the pizza on Sun Princess 8.5. And he's a little bit about like, he doesn't give anything a 10. So that's a really good review. And he gave the MSC pizza 8.2, which he also thought was excellent.
Okay.
So that was worse. So he thought actually that Princess edged out MSC just a little bit. But something that I noticed on MSC is they're using what looked like to be real wood fire stoves. Mm-hmm. So they've got a really nice crust. I thought their pizza was really good, though. I could probably live on it.
Yeah, I'm from New York, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, to me, New York pizza is the standard against, you know, everything else is measured. And,
yeah.
And MSC tasted a lot like New York pizza.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and yeah.
Yep, yep. Let's see. What else did you try? Anything else?
Let's see. I did Canada, New England. We did that with Norwegian Cruise Line on Norwegian Pearl. That was such a nice cruise because we've done some cruises where, you know, you're 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people on a ship. But this was really nice because it was an older cruise ship. They had refurbished it. But what was really nice is I think we had 2,200 people on board on, you know, a ship that could accommodate with quadruple occupancy, it could accommodate about 3,000. So the ship didn't really feel crowded. The people were so nice on board. Again, the crew were great. And we did a lot of the specialty dining on Norwegian Pearl. And that was among, I guess, we did have specialty dining, but the food was so good. And to your point about Oceans, where you can eat chicken wings and burgers and, you know, BLTs and everything, they've got great casual dining.
Yes, yes. In fact, my last cruise just a couple of months ago was on Norwegian Pearl.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, it was an R&D themed cruise. And yeah, you know, so I was thinking about, you know, like the place, in fact, when I used the Reuben example, I was thinking about the place yeah. that we went to on Norwegian Pearl. I mean, we would go to all the shows, then the late comedy show, and then, you know, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, getting a hamburger or whatever, you know, at, and I can't remember the name of the place, but,
Oceans.
You know.
Oceans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I think I'm pronouncing it right. Oh, it's like O and then Sheehan's.
Okay.
Oceans. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I like Pearl. They do a lot of little, they do a lot of theme cruises on Pearl.
I heard that. We met somebody else who had been on a music cruise. I don't know if it's the same one that you were on, but she just described it as a music cruise on that ship. Mm-hmm. And I find the nightlife on that ship, like, it's surprisingly happening. It's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that ship.
Yeah. Of course, our nightlife was going to be like the normal nightlife magnified. Because,
I'm sure.
You know, yeah, you know, you had all of these DJs and, you know, stand-up comedy. You know, so again, yeah, being a theme cruise.
Fun.
Yep, yep. Anything else?
I think we did a couple of other little cruises. We did Liberty of the Seas. That's a bit of an older cruise ship, but we added in, actually, we were on Celebrity Ascent early January. That was a cruise that we did with our other son as well. We have done like one family cruise a year the last couple of years with our older son as well. A little less working on that cruise. We try to take it as a little bit of a vacation. And right after that, we were still in Florida and we picked up a little bit of a last minute price on a 4-day Freedom of the Seas. So that was pretty fun. That was with Royal Caribbean, an older ship, but like the entertainment on Royal Caribbean is so good. We had a really good time.
So you went on Ascent, huh? So compare it to Beyond. I know you said, you know, it's almost a carbon copy. Can you pick one or the other, or it truly was that identical?
I felt like it was almost identical. There was like one difference that I particularly remember, which is when you're going to Eden from the Grand Plaza, when you're walking back towards Eden, you know how on Beyond you're going through that Hall of Mirrors? Mm-hmm. So the Hall of Mirrors was a little bit different. Instead of it being gold and black, it was sort of silvery with a little touch of green. So it was such a small difference. I think I preferred it on Beyond, but maybe it's because it's the first time that I saw it. One thing that was like I thought really special was they had an amazing cruise director. I wish I had really thought about his name in advance. I think his name is Luigi. Anyway, I apologize. If I think about the name, I'll let you know later. But I was surprised. He was so energetic, and he was the one who was doing Zumba a lot of times in the Grand Plaza. Him, along with other, you know, of the activities personnel, they were so energetic. I was a little bit surprised for a celebrity cruise at how energetic this cruise was. So that was a little bit of a difference. And the food in the main dining room, I had found the year before on Beyond, although it was very good, I didn't find it as good as on past celebrity cruises. And I found that the Ascent was, to me, it seemed like maybe they were listening to some of the feedback, and I found there were improvements. So I thought it was overall very, very good, though. No complaints.
Mm-hmm. You just said a word, and I know it seems like I'm kind of jumping around, but you just said Zumba, and that brings me back to Virgin. Did you do any of the classes?
I didn't, and maybe this is a little bit of a tip. Their classes fill up very, very quickly. So on embarkation day, what people need to do is they actually need to sign up for the classes as soon as they board. But what we found out is while you're waiting to board, oftentimes in the terminal, you can actually get on the app and sign up before you get on board. So that was something we weren't really aware of for our first Virgin cruise. We'd found out after that a lot of people who've cruised with Virgin before know to kind of get those booked up right away. Instead, we like ate lunch, we walked around, and a few hours later, I thought, oh, now I'll sign up. But they were already full. And we were told you could show up, but I didn't really want to just show up to a class at 8 a.m. and maybe I can go in, maybe I can't. Maybe it would have worked out, but so we didn't.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. The other thing, I'm going to jump back to Celebrity Beyond. That Hall of Mirrors you mentioned,
yes.
I found that disorienting.
Yes.
I was so afraid I was going to trip, because didn't they have like sculptures
in the middle and hanging?
Yeah. So yeah, actually, yeah.
Maybe they did. This was better because, to my recollection, there was nothing hanging in your pathway. So, and it was much more well lit. It was more silvery, and the lights were on. So I think that, you know, they didn't say that this is what they were trying to do. I did ask. But definitely there was nothing like in the way that somebody, I always thought when I was on Beyond, if somebody's really drunk going through that
is, oh my goodness.
So this was better. So maybe that was, maybe you'll really like that on Ascent. I think it was easier to just walk through.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward, because I take Ascent, like I said, later in 24, but on Beyond, you know, and I don't get really drunk, although I do get buzzed, but, but I kept thinking every time we walked through there, which seemed to be a lot, I kept thinking that I'm going to be on a viral video, because I just kept thinking I'm going to trip on something.
Not what you want. You don't want to be a big internet sensation for the wrong reason.
For the wrong reason. Yeah, somebody said there's no such thing as bad publicity. As a former marketing professor, I can tell you that saying is not valid. So let's talk about the future. What do you have booked?
Well, I am very excited because our next cruise is going to be to Norway. So it's my first time going to Norway.
On what?
On Holland America. We're going to on Holland America, Rotterdam. It seems like I've done a lot of Rotterdam, but I do really like that ship. And it's a beautiful itinerary, 7 days, you know, Norwegian fjords. And we're going to leave from Rotterdam. So we're going to fly into Amsterdam 2 or 3 days before. So we'll have a chance to visit Amsterdam. That's something that I really want to do. I like to take advantage when we're going on a cruise, especially if we're going somewhere that's, you know, a little bit far away that chances are not going to easily get back to. I like to try to spend 2 or even 3 days on land first to be able to visit that city. So we're excited to be able to visit Amsterdam and then the Norwegian fjords, which is going to be, you know, once again, a new packing experience for me.
Amsterdam is on my bucket list. Norwegian fjords is also on my bucket list, and I'm booked. So I am going to see that. Now, that one's not until 25. It's on the NCL Prima.
Ooh, very nice. That ship looks phenomenal. So gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds great. Anything else booked, or have you made any new additions to your bucket list?
Not really. I do have some ideas of things that I want to do, but I have I do have the Sun Princess booked for later on. I do hope to go on Carnival. Like I said, one of those newer ships. Likely it'll be, you know, maybe Mardi Gras or Celebration. To be honest, I haven't finalized any dates yet. And we do hope and plan to go on a river cruise. Maybe even, I think if I did have to think of my bucket list, so to speak, or dream wish list, I do want to try maybe Explorer Journeys. I'd like to try like a luxury cruise line, and not because I absolutely need luxury or anything, but I do think it's just the experience to be able to, you know, go on a cruise and maybe not think about some of the little things that preoccupy us for the cruise line to take care of all of that. I think that there is something nice about that idea. So I'd like to get a chance to experience that and also, you know, share it with my audience and community. Because I know a lot of times these days, you know, people are taking a mainstream cruise line or even a premium cruise line, but then adding on packages, maybe even booking a suite and, you know, adding on a lot of experiences that are included with deluxe or a luxury cruise line. So I'm also curious, even price point wise, all of that.
You know, for people like you who are considering a river cruise, I have a real interesting show coming up. It's a company called LaVoat. Mm-hmm. And what they do are luxury houseboat rentals. So basically, it's a river cruise, mm-hmm. but it's on inland waters instead of the bigger rivers. And the thing is, you drive it yourself.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to have a boating license. And you do, you know, and it's like 4 to 5, 6, 7, even 10 nights. And so you cook all your own food, comes with a barbecue grill. And I mean, it's a big deal. But it's, you know, it's much, much obviously because they're not doing anything for you. Much cheaper than a river cruise. But, you know, and they have it, they have locations throughout Europe and also in Canada.
It sounds so very interesting. I have to say that you lost me at you cook your own food.
No, there you go.
No, it sounds good for somebody who's interested in that. And maybe one day, because it definitely is, the idea of it being such an interesting experience, you know, a little bit of an adventure.
Well, before we let you go, Alana, what I call fun or light cruise questions. Oh, you know, I wanted to ask you. I'm asking all of the bloggers and vloggers and influencers that come on. I'm seeing a trend. I think it's a trend of bloggers, influencers who are doing group cruises. Is that something that Lifewell Cruise has ever thought about?
I'm asked about it a fair amount, but at this point, I don't see it in my immediate future. I'm never going to say never, but I'm not a travel agent, and it's not something right now that I can see fitting into my schedule. And, you know, if I do a group cruise, which I'm not saying that I wouldn't, you know, I would want to make sure it was really an experience that people would want. And also I would want to understand what do people hope for out of that group cruise so that I would be able to provide that. So I'm not saying no, but it's not something that I can see happening at least in the next years.
I mentioned earlier the absolutely, the excellent quality and the comprehensive catalog or library of YouTube videos you have. Tell fans how they can, and you have a great Facebook group as well. Tell fans how they can follow Lifewell Cruise on social media and the internet.
Sure. So we have lifewellcruise.com, which is my website. And we have so many articles on there as well. I think there's about 600 different articles. So I have everything from packing lists to cruise port guides. So one of the ways people can find those certain articles that they might be looking for is actually just when they Google, to actually Google, as an example, what to pack for a Caribbean cruise, Lifewell Cruise, or what to do in Juneau, Alaska, Lifewell Cruise, because it's a little bit easier that way to find it if you are Googling, for instance.
Or as you mentioned earlier, cruises to avoid, Lifewell Cruise.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So if you put Lifewell Cruise at the end of your Google search or your YouTube search, then it's a little more specific. YouTube, like you said, we are on there. And I put out usually every week, I put out 3 videos a week. This month, I've done a little bit less. I've done mostly 2 videos a week, but we're getting back to 3 videos a week next week. And then, of course, on Facebook and on Instagram, you can find me at Lifewell Cruised. And I love to chat and interact. And I find it's a great community over there. So that's definitely a good place to find us.
So before we let you go, a couple of light, even fun questions. When you were here last, I asked you about favorite cruise drinks and food. Have you discovered anything new you want to share with the listeners?
So what I have been drinking more recently, and I would say over the last year, and I don't think it's particularly interesting, but it's definitely become more and more popular, but it is an Aperol Spritz. So I know some people know what it is, some people don't, but basically Aperol is an orange-colored liqueur that to me tastes like a little bit of the bitterness of orange rind, so almost like a citrusy, you know, bitterness, and it is combined with Prosecco and just a splash of club soda. So it's a little bit bittersweet, but I really like it. They usually put a slice of orange in it, so that's my favorite drink. I have been trying different drinks on different cruises, and I still like quite a lot of the other ones that I've tried, but this is a little bit less sweet, and this is probably what I've been drinking the most, along with mimosas. Sometimes on a cruise, I never do this at home, but I like to have a mimosa with my breakfast. If I eat in the main dining room, I'll have a mimosa with like my bagels and lox or something. It just feels somehow a little bit special on a cruise.
Yeah, my mimosa story. Took my daughters and son-in-law on a cruise, and we went to the casino, was having a mimosa happy hour. So they were really, really cheap. And so that was planned. That was fun. But then unplanned, we found out about a bourbon tasting that Buffalo Trace was holding. And we went to that right after the mimosa happy hour. And so I will say that most of that day, I slept. So I like to drink, but I'm not a big drinker, if that makes sense. So
it does, for sure. And that's when it really hits you, right?
Yeah. Any new, unforgettable, funniest, embarrassing cruise experiences since we last spoke? Last time you were here, you threw a bowling pin at a juggler's head, if I recall.
Yeah. Since then, I probably have fallen asleep in a couple of shows at nighttime. My husband or son will give me a little nudge to tell me, wake up before they call on you.
Yep.
Something did happen, though, on my recent MSC cruise, and this was genuinely embarrassing. Anyway, I always think these embarrassing things happen just to keep you humble. You know, just when you think, like, hey, things are going well, it's like life's going to be like, oh, no, you know, here, I'm going to embarrass you. So we were walking in to the MSC Seascape. And, you know, when you're walking in, sometimes, especially if you're one of the earlier passengers on board, sometimes, like, the crew is all there and they're welcome.
Oh, yeah. So this is right at embarkation. Okay.
So I'm walking right in and I am holding my carry-on luggage with like a bag on top of it. And don't you think that I trip straight over it and fall right onto my luggage?
By any chance, was Ethan videotaping?
Ooh, I am not sure. But
Yep. You're not sure? You're not sure or you're not telling?
I'll have to check. But definitely, that was something embarrassing. I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? Everybody comes running. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, just when you don't want to draw more attention to yourself. But I wasn't hurt. It was all fine. And a little bit of an embarrassing thing to keep me humble.
The crew probably was thinking, oh, she's going to be a live one this week.
Yeah. Before I even had a drink.
So, Ilana, you have a huge, I mean, a really large and fervent following. So welcome to the many LifeWell Cruise fans listening. So that your fans and my listeners can get to know you better, let me ask a few questions I like to ask repeat guests. So tell our listeners and your fans, what's playing these days in your Bluetooth speaker, headphones, or however you consume music?
I don't actually listen to a lot of music on earphones, podcasts, on earphones, Bluetooth, any of that stuff. If I do listen, I like sort of like 90s music or 80s music, just even like a general playlist if I'm by the pool, that kind of thing. I will have something, though, and I get like this. If I hear a song that I really like, I will listen to that song almost nonstop for like 3 weeks. So that is a little bit quirky, my son always says, because there was at one point, I don't know if you know the song by Adele, it was Easy On Me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It came out about mm-hmm. a year ago or so. I loved that song so much that I found on YouTube a video of it where it was replayed for 1 hour in a loop. Yeah, that's right. So I would like cook dinner and thank God nobody else was like in the kitchen. They just let me do my thing. And I would just listen again and again and again to Easy On Me. And sometimes when I would like type out like my blog post or go on Canva doing thumbnails and stuff like that, I would listen to Easy On Me, definitely. So I actually really like Adele. She is probably one of my favorites, but I did the same thing with Ed Sheeran. I would find his album and I would just listen to that on repeat. And then the song by Elton John and Dua Lipa, Cold, Cold mm-hmm. Heart. That is a song my poor, like, honestly, we've driven to Florida and I've been like, again. And so I get weird that way that if I like something, I listen to it until people throw things at me and want me to stop.
Well, what's the last live concert you attended?
It's been a long time ago. It was Elton John, probably somewhere in the late 90s in Montreal. Yeah, I'm not a big concert person.
Although, I mean, can you imagine how many people who will never have the opportunity to see him live? So
Oh, yeah. No, he was fantastic. I went with my husband. We brought my mother-in-law, who was a fan of Elton John. And it was fun, but I don't love to be in crowds. So I'm not typically drawn towards going to concerts for that reason. I do have a favorite artist. So while I don't really have just one, I do actually have somebody that I admire, I think, the most. And I do really like her music. It's Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah.
I just,
That's a pretty sad story.
yeah, and she is from Quebec, which is where
Yes.
I'm from. And I actually saw her singing, I think it was for like the Quebec national holiday back when she was about 17 years old. So before
Get
she
out.
was super famous. Yeah. And she would be touring around and she just played at like, there's fireworks and stuff. So she was one of the people that was playing there. And I wouldn't say at the time that I was a super big fan. She was, singing in French. But over the years, I've just really admired the way, like she is so hardworking and family came first for her always. And really the drive that she had, she was only, I believe, about 18 years old when she learned English and to be able to sing in another language. Is incredible. So her career, that way it had such longevity and definitely, the sadness that unfortunately, she and her husband had also encountered. But I think she's a really resilient person and I definitely do admire her. And her French songs, which I only really found later on in life after her husband passed away, they played her French songs at his funeral. And because I'm from Montreal and Quebec, I watched the funeral. It was a little bit emotional at the time, but I listened to her French songs and I thought, oh my goodness, if her English songs are good, her French songs are better. So that's yeah.
Well, there you go, LifeWell Cruz, fans and followers. I hope that brought you just a little bit closer to Alana, who is beloved by many. I can vouch for that.
You are too kind, Paul.
Alana, thank you for coming back on the Jerv Cruising Podcast, and all the best to LifeWell Cruz. You will always have a standing invitation. We definitely will have you back on the podcast to get your thoughts about new ships and developments in cruising. Anything else you want to share with the Joy of Cruising podcast audience?
Congratulations. I probably don't say it enough, but you know that I think that you are absolutely phenomenal. What you've done for the industry and all of the different content creators, influencers, whatever people want to say, it really, I think that it has been amazing. Probably you're one of the people that has done the most for the industry as a whole. So really, congratulations on everything you've done. And it's always a good quality and it's always positive. So it's really good. Really beautiful.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate you saying that. All right, Alana, you take care now. As they say, we will see you on the ocean.
See you on the ocean. Thanks so much, Paul, for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
The Joy of Cruising and Cruising Interrupted, each $16.99 plus shipping, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again, for $18.99, can be ordered at the link on thejoyofcruisingpodcast.com. For each of the three books, use the discount code Joy of Cruising Podcast and get $4 off. The Joy of Cruising books are also available at Amazon. Order the ebook at Amazon or your favorite online retailer. Stay in touch by joining the Joy of Cruising Podcast Facebook group or following the Joy of Cruising Podcast on Instagram. We're constantly adding new shows. Please leave a review and tell a friend about us. We hope you enjoyed this brief escape to the ocean. See you next week.